This is WMUK's West Southwest. These days, the meat and dairy products on your table probably come from a densely packed factory farm. But former Kalamazoo City Commissioner Nicolette Hahn-Nyman says it wasn't always so. Now a cattle rancher in California, she's written two books about the complicated relationship between humans and farm animals. And she'll speak about that history next week at Western Michigan University. Hahn-Nyman gave WMUK's Andy Robbins a preview.
You've written two books now about our relationship with the animals that end up on our plate, at least those of us who are not vegetarian or vegan. And you're going to be talking about those animals from prehistory to modernity, which is quite a long span. So I would assume there have been quite a few changes.
Yes. Well, it's going to be obviously sort of a brief overview of that historic period, but I think it's really important and valuable to take a step back and look at that long-term trajectory, both in terms of the human-animal relationship and in terms of the ecological impact of those animals on the Earth, because I actually think we really need that longer-term perspective in our modern-day conversation. And I like going way back to, you know, sort of the Ice Age, basically, and going forward, because what the Earth looks like today is determined by that long-term history.
So how does our relationship with animals change the face of the Earth?
In the Pleistocene period, we had this very long period of time where you had the development of large herds of large animals, herds and packs. And so you had, it was really the beginning of the creation of major grassland areas on the Earth. There's this very detailed, you know, sort of archaeological record about when grass first appeared and then when it became more widespread. But the interesting thing about grass is that it doesn't really exist in large areas until you have this sort of coevolution that's happening with the animals that live on grass and thrive on grass and maintain those grassy areas. And those are the grazing animals. And so you end up having for tens of millions of years during this period, you have these huge herds of grazing animals, and then you have the development of large predatory packs of animals that basically hunt them, keep them moving, keep their numbers in check, et cetera. And all of, you know, all the plants, all of the, you know, microbiology, all of the macrofauna, everything was developing under those conditions for tens of millions of years. Then, you know, sort of fast forwarding to, you know, let's say 10,000 years ago, well, about 12,000 years ago was the development of agriculture, and that had a huge impact on human populations and our relationship with animals as well. There was already the domestication of animals that had begun probably 30,000 years ago or so, but there became much more domestication of plants and animals, and the relationship shifted quite a bit at that point. But animals remained absolutely essential to human survival because we were, you know, as we went into parts of the world where you couldn't really grow crops, the animals were absolutely essential in converting that grass that humans can't eat into meat and milk. And animals were mobile, and animals, unlike crops, are something that can provide food in the form of milk, but then also can be slaughtered when necessary. And there's flexibility to that, unlike crops, which cannot be moved around and have to be harvested at a certain time. So there was this unbelievably important relationship between humans and the domesticated animals that started when agriculture started and as humans covered more and more of the globe. And I think nowadays, you know, what I've written about a lot is the way that we're farming, the sort of the modern day method of farming, which is the much more industrialized approach. This is very recent in this long trajectory because it's really only about the last 50 years. And what I've been writing my books about is how this incredibly important ecological role that animals have played all this time, and then this incredibly important role they've played for humans specifically, has sort of been radically altered by this industrial approach that is being taken with modern animal farming. And so my sort of basic argument is that the animals are valuable and important, and that It's good for humans to have them in the food system, but it's wrong for us to raise them in, you know, factory type settings.
Given, the population pressure with human populations growing around the world, is it likely that the industrial approach to agriculture and animals in particular is likely to change anytime soon?
People often assume that the rising population, you know, makes the industrial approach. In fact, this the argument that agriculture makes all the time is it makes it imperative that we raise animals this way. And my argument is kind of exactly the opposite. I feel that the tremendous ecological stress that the planet is experiencing right now is a mandate that we shift the way we're, doing really all agriculture, because it's very chemical dependent, which is not just polluting, but is killing the life in our soils, which is the foundation of sustainable agriculture. Our ability to feed ourselves, indefinitely into the future, I think, is absolutely tied to our ability to keep our soils healthy and alive. So I think we need to rebuild our whole agricultural system, not just with respect to the animals. But with respect to the animals, it is incredibly important that we sort of harness what's so beneficial and good about the animals in the way we raise food, because they add enormous benefits to the fertility of the soil, the life of the soil, and 40% of the Earth's land surface is not farmable, but it is characterized as range lands that can be grazed. And actually, a lot of that land is grazed right now. And when that's done well, that has ecological benefits for the climate, for the, for the hydrological cycles, the way the water cycles through our whole system. And it produces food in places where we cannot otherwise produce food. So I think the role of the animals is more important now than ever. But I think we need to do things in quite a radically different way than we're doing them now.
And how would that change? I mean, what kind of approach do you think should be taken?
There's a huge portion of the animals that are raised for food that are grazing animals. So, my sort of primary passion these last few years has been this defense of cattle. Defending Beef is my last book. And the reason is because, this 40% of the land surface that cannot be used for anything other than grazing as far as food production is concerned, when that's done well, that basically plays the role, it substitutes for those disappeared wild grazing herds that once covered so much of the earth in the Pleistocene period I was talking about a few minutes ago. When you do it badly, you cause damage to the soils and to the waters and everything. So it's sort of urgently necessary that we manage those herds well, but it's also really important that we have those herds out on the grass. So, for example, dairy production in the United States now is very barely connected with grass anymore. It's much more about grain and soy and other, sort of harvested crops that are grown in one place and shipped long distances to the animals. I think a truly sustainable system is one where we use those grazing animals on the grasslands where they belong, and the use of sort of grains and soys and other harvested crops is really minimal. And we raise the crops that are raised, that are sort of grown and harvested are for humans, and the crops, the grass, the vegetation that just naturally covers the earth is harvested by the animals directly. So one of the urgent things I think we need to do is get the grazing animals back out onto the grasslands. And at the same time, we have to dramatically improve the way the grazing is taking place. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot of talk nowadays about sort of getting rid of the animals in the food system. I am convinced, after studying this for the last nearly two decades, that if you eliminate the animals from the food system, not that I think this is even possible, but if you did wave a magic wand and make that happen, you would cause dramatic ecological decline to the earth by doing that.
How is this going to stack up if this approach that you've been talking about were taken? How would that stack up cost-wise, since price is a definite consideration when you're thinking about food?
Well, it sort of depends if you eliminate the market distortion. So a lot of what's happened in the United States over the last 100 years or so, is that agriculture has moved in a direction that government has subsidized it to move into. And one thing we know for sure is that, for example, fossil fuel prices are unstable, and they're projected to be more and more unstable and to continuously rise as fossil fuel resources decline. The entire system right now that we have for food production is really heavily dependent on the low cost of oil. You know, and as that changes, I think we're going to see the need to move away from this really chemical-dependent agriculture, because the chemicals are all based on fossil fuel production. And, of course, the machinery is directly based on fossil fuel. Fossil fuel production is important for chemicals because it is used as a feedstock directly to create the chemicals, and it is also fuel-intensive to generate the chemicals. So just to clarify that point. But also the machinery that modern agriculture is dependent on is very fossil fuel-dependent. And almost all of the modern, the major crops that are grown in, especially like the middle part of the country, of which Michigan is a part, are very dependent on the subsidy of the government subsidy of the growth of those crops, the commodity crops. And if we don't have those kind of subsidies in the system, then it makes the raising of the animals on grass a lot less, it is more expensive now because of the cost of land. But if you took away the subsidies for the commodity crops that are fed to the confined animals, it would shift the economics quite a bit, and the cost would not be much more. So there's sort of a lot of bigger picture issues here that come into play. But I think the long-term sustainability and affordability of food really is tied to this sort of making the system truly sustainable and regenerative over the long term.
You mentioned that people have, domesticated animals for tens of thousands of years. And the reason that was done was, very practical, survival. But do you think that, in the modern era, that our attitude towards farm animals in particular has become too utilitarian? In other words, they have no value beyond what they can do for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a staunch critic of the industrial approach towards raising animals for food. And I feel very strongly that the sort of industrial approach just really doesn't apply, should never have been applied to the raising of animals, because it turns living sentient creatures into production units. We're treating them as, widgets. And there's no doubt in my mind, from having been to a lot of these places and having, studied it for a long time now and seen a lot of video footage in addition to the places I've seen in person, that this is not an acceptable way to raise animals. To me, the moral obligation to animals is not fulfilled when they're living in an industrial confinement type setting. But when it's on a good farm with high welfare standards, I think that the moral obligation of the animal is absolutely fulfilled, and it provides great benefits to humans to have those animals.
Nicolette Hahn-Nyman spoke with WMUK's Andy Robbins. She'll give the 2017 Hamner Lecture, sponsored by Western Michigan University's History Department, next Thursday, October 12th. It begins at 6:45 that evening in Kersh Auditorium.